T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Trenny and Tomasi with Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hour number two of Trenny and Tomasi, which is not Trenny and Tomasi today. It's me and Mark James. Tomasi is celebrating, I believe, his daughter's birthday or something. There's like a big party going on.
Good for him.
30 kids, a lot of Jamaican jerk chicken.
Oh, nice.
It looked delicious. It looked delicious. I'm sure he's not listening. I'm sure he's just enjoying his family time right now.
I like to party.
He does like to party.
I can't imagine John Tomasi really being a partier.
Oh, Tomasi's fun.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Tomasi's a good time.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a revelation.
He's also an incredible cook. He made dinner for us once at spring training, and I was like blown away.
What did he make?
I don't remember, but it was so good. Like, everything he made was so good. Like, he's just, yeah, he's got a lot of hidden talents, that John Tomasi.
Huh.
Yeah.
Who would have known?
He sent me pictures last night of all the food that he was making, and I was like, thanks for the invite, jerk. And then he was like, I wouldn't put you through the torture of 30 children. And I was
the Tomasi that I know. Thank you.
Right. Appreciate it. Do you think, though, that Tomasi will have so much fun at this party, and he'll imbibe in so many, libations, that if he had to, I don't know, have a really important conference call the next morning, he'd sleep through it?
I don't think he would, but I know you're referring to Robert Williams. Yeah. Very nice. But here's the thing, Trenny, this kid's 20 years old. I'm going to give him after draft night. He was in Louisiana with his family. They show the video.
It is an hour difference. It is central time there, not Eastern time, I believe.
Yeah, there was that. I'm going to give him a pass on this, but I'm going to say this, that you're not in College Station or Shreveport anymore there, sweetheart. Don't let it happen again, okay? You got your one thing of being late. Do not let it happen again, okay?
Well, and it would be one thing if it was just sort of like a one-off, but one of the knocks on Robert Williams is that...
Lack of motivation,
a little out of shape. Adrian Wojnarowski said that he has lottery-level talent.
Yes.
But he noted that questions about his attitude and work ethic may have dropped his draft stock. He actually tweeted on Thursday, if he can show a commitment to playing hard... could be a steal of the first round.
I was over at the brand new Auerbach Center.
I hear it's beautiful.
It is unreal. Just a stone's throw. By the way, we could actually spit on, not that we would, but we could spit on it. We're that close to it from where we're at right now in the New Balance building. I asked Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge that question, and Danny Ainge more in particular said, this is a guy who's projected to be a lottery pick even after last year. If he had come out a year ago after his freshman year, he would have been a lottery pick. And you know, why did you, you know, get him at 27? They said the right things. And obviously, it doesn't matter what he did in the SEC, two-time SEC Defensive Player of the Year. It matters what he does in the league. I think Danny Ainge, once again, let's go back, Trenny. 2014, Marcus Smart. 2015, Terry Rozier. 2016, Jalen Brown. And 2017, Jason Tatum.
I'm going to stop you, though. Going back to Marcus Smart, there were questions about Marcus Smart.
Sure.
There were questions about his attitude, his temper.
Remember, he got a little bit out of weight?
Yeah. His
Tommy Heinsohn mentioned it, called him out.
The way that he conducted himself at Oklahoma State, some people thought, is this going to be a guy who's going to throw punches? Is he going to be a hard guy to rein in and corral? And Brad Stevens was able to do that. Now, you know, he hasn't been able to tell him not to shoot the ball, but he has turned him into a hard-working, scrappy defensive player who has made huge contributions to the Celtics.
And by the way, I think that's the last time we'll ever see him play a game in a Celtics uniform. Unfortunately, it was game 7 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think he's going to take the maximum amount. And they said the Pacers, the Nuggets, and Sacramento are all interested in Marcus Smart. And he might get up to $15 million a year. There's no way the Celtics
are paying
no
that.
Way. I wouldn't pay him more than 12. 12, I'm done at 12. You can't under this cap. You got Kyrie's going to be a free agent. You can walk away next year. You're going to have to sign him to a long-term extension.
Yeah, no.
And there's no way. You can't do it.
You can't do it. You got to hope that he adjusts his if he really wants to stay here, then maybe he adjusts his expectations on what he's willing to take, but I don't see that happening. Mike in North Providence has been waiting for this because he's on the call screen. It says, screw Hanley, let's talk Celtics. Mike, what would you like to talk about in regards to the Celtics?
Hey, yeah. Just a quick note, though, about the Sox. You know, the really torturous thing about the whole Jackie Bradley Jr. situation is the perfect replacement for him is already in the organization and has been the best player in Pawtucket the last 2 years.
Bruce Nicasio?
Yeah, and the only reason he's not up here is because of salary and cap. Mm-hmm. You know, has nothing to do, or it's luxury tax. It has nothing to do with the fact that he should be in Jackie's place. He should be.
Let's be honest, Mike. How frustrating. As a Sox fan, how frustrating is that? You're watching these guys print money, and you've got the, unless the only thing I can think of is you've got the Yankees on your tail and you've got Houston to contend with. Is it a situation where they're like, maybe this year's not the year to go over the that far over the luxury tax? Like, Rusnik Castillo isn't going to catapult us past the Yankees or catapult us past the Astros. So, man, let's not worry about it. I don't know.
Well, this was supposed to be a one-year deal of going way over the limit because they want to get back below it because the way that it's all set up is the repeater penalty that really hurts.
Yeah.
You know, so if they put him on the 40-man roster again, it makes it all the more difficult to get back below, you know, because he gets his $11 million salary plus the penalty.
Yeah, going into the season, he had three seasons and $35.5 million remaining on his seven-year contract. But you want to see what this guy can do. Now, I believe when they increase the roster, I believe after not the non-waiver trade deadline, but the waiver trade deadline, like in August, that's when you could see Rusnik Castillo come up here. I think that could be, you know, but you got to wait till August to see this kid and then Jackie Bradley Jr. continue to flounder?
Well, maybe, but the thing is that this is how dire the salary situation is for the team. Okay, I just make my Celtic point really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, the thing, I'm all for this kid getting picked up. If only to be just another piece in the toolbox. If you look at the Golden State Warriors, they facilitate a lot of different looks through the way their bench is constructed and the supporting cast. Like in this last playoff series, the NBA Finals, everybody not named Durant, Curry, Thompson, and Green collectively shot 63%. And it's because they generate high percentage looks. They limit themselves to only taking good shots. And you're looking at a guy like this who's basically a lob target who's going to create more offense for himself with offensive rebounds and help open up three-point shooters out on the perimeter by, you know, collapsing in the defense a bit. I mean, this is a big win for the team.
It's a huge win. And by the way, when you're picking at 27, Mike, and thanks for the phone call, it's like you want value. Danny Ainge hit a home run on this pick, Trenny. I can't tell you how much I've watched this kid. The one thing I don't like, I'm not going to name names, but there are people in this market who, like, after Chris Haynes and Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that, oh, this guy is a, you know, Chris Haynes said he could be a Clint Capella comparison, which are you kidding me?
Yeah,
let's go.
John, actually, Tomasi wrote the exact same
thing. Right,
column
right. Tomasi, no, right. So, but then there's a lot of other people. It's like, then they start going like, Clint, like, dude, did you, like, I watch SEC basketball. I'm probably one of the only people in New England that watch SEC basketball. I watch this kid. For the Celtics to get this lottery level talent at 27, it's not only, it's a great deal, it could be a steal for Danny Ainge and company. That's why I love, listen, when it comes to talent evaluation, trust in Danny. He knows what he's doing.
I mean, he's made some mistakes.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, there was Jared Sullinger and rest in peace, Fab Melo.
Yo, there and don't forget James Young out of Kentucky.
James Young.
He was not good. And the kid out of Georgia State who had that great NCAA tournament, R.J. Hunter.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Forgot about R.J. Hunter.
Yeah, most people have.
But he's hit recently, his recent draft picks. To me, I compared it last night on our show on Early Edition. I said, you know, because Giardi and Draper were like, I don't understand why everybody's all like gushing over this pick and we don't know what he's going to be yet. And he's got all these question marks. And I was like, it's no different to me at this point. Danny is no different than Bill Belichick. It's in Danny we trust. It's always been in Bill we trust. And they're like, yeah, but he's made some mistakes in the past. I said, well,
who hasn't?
So is Bill. But when you hit more than you miss, people are going to start to give you the benefit of the doubt. And Danny has made some incredible deals lately, whether it's getting Kyrie Irving, How about trading for Isaiah Thomas, drafting Jaylen Brown, moving, trading away. When they traded away the number one pick and everybody thought Markelle Fultz, that they had to have Markelle Fultz, but Danny Ainge saw something in Jason Tatum and traded that away and used it to his advantage.
And got a number one out of it.
And you got essentially a number one out of it. So right now, I guess I'm in your camp. It's like, I'm not going to look at this and over, I'm not going to gush over it because we don't know what we're going to get out of him, but it's, you know, it's low risk, high reward.
Right.
I mean, even if this kid, okay, let's just say for argument's sake, the kid sleeps in and he's fat and lazy and he doesn't do anything. All right, so you had a 27th. It's not like you wasted the 7th pick.
No, and by the way, the pick that the Celtics gave up to acquire Kyrie Irving ended up being the 8th pick. Cleveland, with that pick, took Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
I've watched Colin. Colin Sexton's a really good point guard. I don't know if his game's going to translate to the NBA. So right now, Danny's looking like a mat. Like, I can understand that teams get scared when Danny calls. Because, like, he's going to fleece us. That's what he's done. Oh, and by the way, amongst all the bad deals that Danny's made, probably the worst one, trading up to draft Kelly Olynyk over the Greek Freak.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Let's not forget that one.
Since you've actually watched a fair amount of SEC basketball and you've seen Robert Williams.
He's a stud.
If you're a Celtics fan listening right now, why should they be excited about Robert Williams?
Okay, there was a point in time.
Because I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen.
Okay, there's a point in time.
Jack.
In 2000,
I have to really tailor what I say now because we got that list of words we're not allowed to say. I have to really think about it.
I appreciate your transparency, not coming out and saying, "Oh, I think he's going to be like Clint Capella," when you haven't watched a game like most people haven't in this town.
Yeah, I'm not going to fake it. Like, I watch Marquette basketball. I watch Big East basketball because I'm a Marquette fan, so I watch a lot of Big East. But I don't give a rat's behind about Texas A&M.
Well, I'm gonna when I look at a guy like Robert Williams, and I'm not saying he's gonna be this good. I'm gonna give you the, but you gotta stay with me because I'm gonna say a name. You're gonna go, ugh. Let me say the year first, 2004 through 2010. Dwight Howard in Orlando. That Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say right now. I mean, people are like kind of crapping all over Dwight Howard because his name has now been linked to the Celtics
No, you don't need him. Don't eat him.
But
I don't want him.
Listen, guy did play 81 minutes last year and averaged 16 and 12. Like,
no,
this isn't a guy who would be a throwaway. You wouldn't even have to start him. And if he doesn't need to be the focal point of a team, he might actually be a decent pickup for you, especially if you're not able to re-sign. And he certainly, I really like Aaron Baines, all of Australia, but wouldn't he be an upgrade from Aaron Baines?
Yes, of course he would be.
Of course
I mean,
he would
this guy's a lottery pick talent. And here's another thing.
Older, but whatevs.
Right. He doesn't have...
He's not old.
Right. He's not going to average 16 points a game, but I tell you, what's the biggest...
But how do you know that? He just averaged 16 points a game last year. It's not like it was 4 years ago.
I'm talking about Robert Williams.
Oh, sorry.
Williams.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so Robert Williams isn't going to average 16 points a game, but what he will do, he'll get you double digits in rebound. And the Celtics' biggest problem for... really, the Brad Stevens era, and we saw it happen against Cleveland. They can't rebound when they need to. This kid's going to help you rebound. He's going to block shots. He's going to energize the garden. It was a great pick. I give Danny Ainge and Mike Zarin a lot of credit. I'm glad Mike Zarin, I don't think he's going to Philly because they've offered, like they've made overtures for him to be their next GM. This guy bleeds green. He wears the starter satin jacket.
Every day, I feel like.
Yeah, the other night he didn't though. He's wearing a suit. I'm like, where's the starter jacket?
Danny was probably like, clean it up, Zarin. Clean it up. 617-779-7937. How do you feel about the Celtics? How do you feel about Robert Williams? We'll also happily take your calls on the Red Sox or anything else sports related that's on your mind. I mean, I suppose we could throw Tom Brady in there singing at a U2 concert, but I don't know about anybody else. But I'm just, you know, I'm sort of like, let Tom Brady be Tom Brady at this point. You know what I will say? It's good to know he's not great at everything. It's good to know that Tom Brady is not good at everything he does.
Well,
he's a terrible singer.
We saw that at one of the...
I would like him to stop acting like a 13-year-old girl, though. Like, I'm going to sing and I'm going to selfie edit, put it on my Instagram stories.
I think that was Giselle, though. Did he not do...
That was all him. That was a selfie, and then he turned the camera and saw Giselle do the, open mouth, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think we saw one thing Tom Brady also wasn't great at one of the Patriots' 5 Super Bowl duck boat parades. He got up there when they, about to address the crowd, and he tried dancing, and it wasn't good.
What, man? Oh, God.
Yeah, so there's that. But it's, it is what it is. I just want Tom Brady. I just want to see him get in camp and be the Tom Brady we all know and love. This has not been a good offseason for him. It's not been bad, but it's just from a PR perspective, the optics have not been good for Tom Brady this year. And I get it. I understand there's some friction between him and Bill Belichick, or as Oprah Winfrey calls him, Billichick.
Is that what she said?
She called him Billichick.
Did she call him Bill Belichick?
Yeah, in the question when she asked him about his head coach, she calls him Billichick. Yeah. Yeah, and that's
this, by the way, that was 45 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did, unfortunately. I hear the birds chirping in the background.
I will say this. I watched the whole thing, and while I believe it is 45 minutes of my life I can never get back, I didn't walk away from it thinking... I actually walked away thinking that Tom Brady looked good. He came out. He was honest. He was open. Like, my thing with Tom Brady, I don't care that he's into all the, like... You know, Alex Guerrero,
holistic healing
meditation, like positivity. Like I said this the other day on our show, I was like, I'm into all that stuff. That's my jam, man.
Okay.
I love it.
So why don't you become a TB12 client?
Because I already have a chiropractor / physio that I like that does pretty much all the same stuff.
Okay. All right.
And to me, that's a conflict of interest.
Okay. Right. Well, apparently it's not. I mean, there's like, you know, as something happened on your network a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, little fisticuffs with Dan Shaughnessy and
by
Tommy
the way,
Kern.
Those are heavyweights going at it, too, man. Those are like big-time box office attractions going at it. Shaughnessy,
made for good TV. Makes for good TV.
By the way, it made for great TV. I was riveted. I loved it.
Where was I?
Yeah, you weren't there.
No. You know what? I think I had an MC. I think I was on MC duty that night.
Yeah. By the way, Shaughnessy was like, oh, maybe I'll join. They'll tell me something. Shaughnessy did not back down. He was going all in.
Well, yeah, Shaughnessy doesn't back down. But anyway.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
Belichick.
Oh, yeah, Belichick.
Belichick.
That's funny. Yeah. She mixed together like the two names.
Yeah.
Instead of saying Bill Belichick, she said Belichick.
She didn't know much about football. She wasn't that wasn't her forte.
But anyway, my point is like I'm into all that stuff and I don't fault him for doing it. I don't fault him for that being like the focus of what if that's what keeps you healthy and that's why you're still playing at 41 at a high level. Or at least we think you'll play again at a high level at 41. That's great. It's the other extraneous stuff this summer that has bothered me. It's the subtweeting. Now I say on Oprah and at the Milken Institute that I'm not quite sure how long. Maybe the end on Oprah. The end is sooner rather than later.
The last episode of Tom versus Time when he was like, why are we doing this?
Like, what is it all?
Come on.
What's the purpose? Like, what is it all there for? Or like, hey, I have worked out with Giselle that I've got two more years. Right now we're at two more years. Like... And then the sort of like the subtweeting and the subtexting and the Instagram posts, like, we're not kids, man. You're a 40, almost 41-year-old man. Like, if you have something to say, say it. And if you don't want to, and listen, I'm also sympathetic to the idea that maybe you're not happy anymore. Maybe, like, football is no longer a priority. Like, newsflash, people, when you get older... And anyone who's older knows this, other things start to become important in your life. And that's totally okay. Like, I would not begrudge him that. He's been doing this for almost 20 years. It takes a toll on your mind, on your body, on your family. Everyone around you has to make major sacrifices, which is fine. But then just don't say anything. Don't write in Spanish at the bottom of a thing, you know, the Spanish for 45.
Corante y cinco.
Come on. Again, like, stop being like
the
13-year-old middle schooler in my neighborhood.
That's exactly what he's done all season long. And I got to tell you, it's been a really bad look. Even Gronk, prior to the draft, the Patriots wanted to talk to him and they said, listen, what are you doing? And I guess he assured them that he's going to play in 2018 and all would be well. And then he did the stupid BMX supermoto cross press conference at Gillette Stadium, which was in a bad look. And I think his people, maybe Drew Rosenhaus, got to him. But for Tom Brady, it's almost like this is bizarro Tom Brady. Like, it's been it's so antithetical of the guy that we know and love. It's like, oh, this is voluntary. Well, there was no such thing as voluntary prior to this. And I know he missed it in the past. I believe with him and Bridget Moynihan he missed it then. He had a valid reason, but this, I get it. There's friction.
This is missing it to miss it.
This is a two middle finger salute to Belichick. He's saying to as Oprah says, Belichick. This is two middle fingers to Belichick. I mean, that's what it is, you know? And it's like, come on, Tom, let's act your age.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
You love that.
I can't believe I didn't notice that. Yeah, you love it.
Come on, Trini. I thought you were taking copious notes.
Well, so here's the thing. I did forget to DVR it, so I watched it just like, and then there wasn't on demand, so I had to watch it via Facebook, like her Facebook page on, right. Like, I just watched it on my phone, so maybe the audio wasn't like, and I'd spent most of the afternoon laying out in the sun at the pool, and so probably like a little out of it.
Gotcha.
So.
All right.
So I digress. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls on anything. People actually want to talk some Red Sox. I kind of dig it.
I love it.
We'll get back to those calls after the break.
Trini and Tomasi with Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
Stop.
Have you ever seen you two in concert?
I have. I saw them actually last year at Gillette Stadium.
Were they just here?
Yes. I know that they were here because I was driving home the other night. I live really close to the garden. I need to keep a garden schedule in my car because there's two different ways that I can go home. I know, like, side story. Sorry about that here. But
Why don't you give out your address for everybody out there?
You'd be hard-pressed. There is a maze of streets in my neighborhood, right. So you're pretty hard-pressed to find where I live. Plus, you'd have to climb all those flipping stairs to try and murder me, which you probably wouldn't want to do. No, you'd be tired out by the time you got to the top, and you wouldn't have the energy to murder me anymore.
Anybody else would want to do that,
Oh, I'm sure there are people out there who would like to. I drive home and everything's smooth, and then it's like a dead stop. I'm stuck in traffic, and I was like, son of a bitch, you do. I don't know if they're in town again tonight. A couple years ago, they were here for 5 nights at the Garden.
Wow.
Because there's such a huge Irish population here.
I know.
I'd like to see them in concert.
I would like to see them.
They're fantastic in concert. They're great. The Lumineers opened up for them last year at Gillette Stadium. It was awesome.
You know who I saw in Gillette 3 years ago?
Taylor Swift.
AC/DC. And it was one of their last concerts before their lead singer went deaf, and now he's not in the band anymore.
So now it's not AC/DC.
So it's not. I know they were having Axl Rose fill in for him. I'm like,
not a terrible replacement, but still not the same.
It's not AC/DC. It's like Guns AC/DC or AC/DC Roses. It's not the same.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
By the way, AC/DC
is on the way to New York right now.
Oh,
okay. So only 2 shows here this time.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic was a mess, and literally I was like, this is every white middle-aged person in Boston going to this concert.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty, that was 100% the clientele, which those are my people, obviously. I am white, middle-aged, and I like you too, so that's not a slam on it. It was an observation I made. Like, I was like, oh yeah, it's just a bunch of 40 and 50-year-old people going to see you too. What's up, everybody? all right, anyway, I digress. We're talking about anything you want. We can talk about Tom Brady and whether or not has he left a bad taste in your mouth this summer, the way that he has conducted himself. 617-779-7937. What do you think about Robert Williams? Also, a lot of people actually want to talk about the Red Sox, which makes me happy because I am a baseball gal at heart.
By the way, Dan and Kranz has been holding on for over an hour.
I was worried. Give us your Hanley conspiracy theory.
By the way, patience is a virtue, my friend. Thanks for holding.
Strolling around on a Saturday, no big deal. I'm missing John today, though.
Oh, that's sweet. I'll text him and tell him.
Oh, no problem. If you get the name Rolo, you obviously have a name affinity for food.
Yes.
In a loving way. But here, JBJ, real quick, separated birth, him and Willie Mays Hayes.
Oh, Major League, yes.
Good Ranger League reference.
Absolutely. And on the next front, his former partner would be Pedro Serrano, that being Hanley. I have a conspiracy theory that I think is actually going to come out, and I think it'll be totally legit. I don't think he's tied to this drug ring at all, the fentanyl thing. I think if there was a box for him there, it wasn't just fentanyl they're talking about. I think he's dirty, like PED dirty, and I think whatever is in that box is whatever cocktail it is that he's on, and I think that's going to be his tie to it. Pretty good theory.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, that's certainly, but I feel like, again, I feel like Michelle McPhee and Dan, thanks for the call and thanks for waiting so long. I do feel like, again, Michelle McPhee is probably making these assumptions and feeling confident enough to put these reports out there because of things she's getting from her sources behind the scenes. And I think that if it was just like, oh, yeah, he's just sort of PED related. He wouldn't be a person of interest in a federal investigation.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about federal, that's like, yeah, that's when, like, when the feds get involved, it's like cancel Christmas. I mean, it's all that. That's well, at that point, you get in the fetal position and you just say, you know, please have mercy on me. I mean, at that point, you're begging for your future at that point. Nobody knows. Let's just see. I trust in Michelle McPhee. What she reports, I trust. And she was the one who broke the story initially,
yep.
Trenny.
Yes, she did.
And she's the one. So to me, this is her story. I know a lot of people are going to try to piggyback off it, but I'm going with Michelle McPhee on this. And I don't believe, I'm just telling you from my perspective, I don't believe the Red Sox had any knowledge whatsoever regarding Hanley with this situation at all. They released him 5 days before this traffic stop. I think the Red Sox made a baseball decision or a business decision because they don't want to pay him the money that he was owed next season if he hit his 497 at-bats, he would vest his option. So I don't think the Red Sox had any knowledge. I think this is a Hanley story. And I don't be surprised on this too, Trenny, if this ends up being nothing. If Hanley's not implicated, it's going to be like, it's tough to prove. Like you said, if you got pulled over something said, oh, it's Mark James weed, and you called me, and like, what's up?
Yeah, but again, this is everyone's assuming that he just called and be like, see, I really have Hanley's phone number. That's not it. He called
in
a way to get, not even that he answered. He called to have a conversation with him that in some way would implicate him. Like, that's my guess. That is my guess, that he called and said something about the stuff, like, hey, I need to ask you about this. And had the cops out of frame. Like that, again, that's just speculation. But again, I don't believe, because if he just called to say, oh, this is Hanley stuff, see, I really know Hanley, that's not going to lead to all of this. Like that would be very negligent on the part of police sources and Michelle McPhee if that's the extent of it. Like I don't think this is simple as I want to throw my friend under the bus, so I'm going to prove to everybody that I'm buddies with Hanley Ramirez. Like, there was something said, and there was some sort of information exchange that has now made him a person of interest. Mm,
yeah, like you're basically going with the where there's smoke, there's got to be some fire.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's like common sense tells me that a federal officer has probably had dealers try to pin things on other people before. And just because you have somebody's phone number in your phone and can make a phone call to them is not an implication. Something they say is an implication. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to John in Maine, who wants to talk Red Sox, and Rusnik Castillo. What's up, John?
All right, well, so quickly on Robert Williams. If the Celtics are willing to draft a shot blocker that can rebound with motivational and behavioral issues, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they would be willing to go out and pick up Dwight Howard. He also is pretty good on offense, too, if he's motivated enough.
Yeah. No. You know what, though, John? The only thing I can tell you on Dwight Howard is just, I just don't see him fitting in here in Boston. I know they could get him for nothing, and that's where his value. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets just bought him out. They didn't even want him. When Brooklyn doesn't want you, John, you have come.
Well, was it that Brooklyn didn't want him, or did he want Brooklyn to buy him out?
No, Brooklyn didn't want him. I mean, that's why they bought him out. So when Brooklyn doesn't want you, John, you are at a crossroads at your career.
Well, I've always felt like, you know, he's been cancerous to teams. As
sure.
Soon as
yeah.
teams get him, they start losing. But I don't know, maybe Brad Stevens could change that. But anyway, on Rusnik Castillo, I think you will see him before the end of the season, especially when they expand the roster. But until then, we're going to be stuck with JBJ. I mean, even through this slide, the starting pitching was pretty damn good. And I think that they'll be able to maintain this winning until the roster expands, and that's when we'll say Rusnik, and that's when he'll get his chance to earn a spot on the roster.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit, though, like almost 2 months when the roster expands.
Forgive me for not knowing this, and I'll have to look it up, though, but just because the roster expands, they've never brought up Castillo the past couple of years, because I think that still counts against you, money-wise, right?
Well, right. I mean,
so I don't know that he'd be able to bring him up. That may still – I don't know that, though, for sure.
Right.
I need to look that up and maybe, you know – like text Evan Drellick or something, who understands sort of the cap and the luxury tax situation certainly better than I do. But I don't know if that's necessarily a quick fix. To me, I think what the Red Sox are doing right now, and maybe the reason they don't call up Castillo, is A, they don't want to go over the luxury tax, or B, they know that maybe they can get something in return via a trade, and either trade away Jackie Bradley or trade away Blake Swihart, and then you bolster your bench that way. Because right now, their bench is essentially pretty thin.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this, though. You talk about JBJ and Blake Swihart on the open market, what are they going to get for those guys?
I don't know.
Right,
that's
now?
The thing. I don't know.
You know?
I don't, and that's the other thing. I don't know what, like, right now, the Red Sox could use a left-handed reliever and a right-handed bat off the bench.
But,
what pieces do they have that you can look at and say, you know what? Yep, that's going to really intrigue a team.
The one guy that I'm just sort of mystified that the Red Sox gave up on, and like, he was great. He was great as a Met, and he was, yeah, he struggled a little bit here, but I thought he was going to come back this year, was Addison Reed. That was a guy who they acquired last year, and like,
what is he making?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, but listen, this team, you know, money's not really been, you know.
Yeah, like, but they're weird. Again, if money wasn't a thing, then he's making $5.5 million this year.
Mm-hmm. That's not that bad.
No.
I mean, like, that was a guy that I thought that maybe should have stayed with his team. I don't know. But, you know, I look at this team right now, and they've obviously got holes. But my biggest fear, I think the Red Sox are going to win 105 games. But here's the thing. I think the Yankees are going to win 108 or 10. And then the Red Sox are going to have to get in a one-game playoff with Seattle or Houston. And anything goes, and it's like, whoa.
Probably not Houston. I would go more. I might lean
Seattle?
More towards Seattle.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
at least you want to be hosting
Houston,
it.
I mean... I feel like Houston is going to run. Oh, I mean, right now they're 50-27 and they're 3.5. Well, they're 3.5 games up on Seattle. I don't know that I see Seattle catching Houston.
Probably not, but they're there and they're going to be in that wild card situation.
And don't forget, there's also the Angels. The Angels are only, they're 8.5 back, but they're only 5 back from Seattle for the wild card. So that's something to keep. I mean, anytime you have Mike Trout on your team, I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Oh, absolutely. And they're coming in, by the way, right after the series against Seattle, the Angels coming in town.
There are a lot of AL West teams. A lot of AL West teams. All right, 617-779-7937. We have a couple of lines open. It's a smorgasbord Saturday. I love alliteration.
Okay, good.
Whatever you feel like talking
about. Like Average
Al,
trending with Trenny.
Yeah, all of those things. They just sort of fall off the tongue.
On the Mark with Mark.
You're locked into Trenny Kuznarek and John Tomasi with Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
Swing and a line drive center field. Benintendi back, stabs it. Ball game over. The Red Sox complete a tremendous comeback victory. Down 4-0 and then 10-5. They rally to beat the Seattle Mariners here 14-10 as the bullpen goes 5 2/3 innings of scoreless relief. And J.D. Martinez goes 4-for-5 with a home run, 2 doubles, a single, and 5 runs batted in.
All right, so JBJ not a part of the win last night. He was not in the lineup. But the Red Sox came back to beat the Seattle Mariners. How did they do that without someone who's hitting
181.
No. It's unbelievable that they were able to accomplish that.
Hey, by the way, Trenny, just a couple notes here. The Bruins, with the 57th pick in the 2018 draft, selected defenseman Axel Anderson of Sweden. And then in the third round, drafted Jacob Lacko from the Czech Republic. He's a forward. So those two guys are the newest Boston Bruins. So congrats to them. And hopefully they'll be continue the tradition going here in Boston with guys like Charlie McAvoy and Matt Grizzlick and company and Anders Bjork. And
I'm just waking up. Sorry.
Come on.
Just don't. It's like, I don't know. I'll probably jump on the bandwagon. Like, if they make a deep playoff run again, it'll be fun. Right. Like, playoff hockey is great.
Game 7 was against Toronto was amazing. They got to keep it going, though. They got to get to that next level.
But then again, I'm someone who loves baseball, so let's be honest. Talk about snoozing. We'll talk about that next hour, by the way. Bob Nightingale, who's a longtime baseball writer, lover of baseball, wrote a scathing report about the state of Major League Baseball right now. But let's check in. Speaking of baseball, let's check in with Fred in Maryland. Fred, it's been a long time. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. I have some thoughts. We have a lineup where the first 6 guys can have 10 or more home runs. I'm starting with Mookie Betts, then B, and then Bogarts, then Martinez, then Moreland, then Devers, then Bat. Either the catcher or Jackie Bradley, 7th or 8th, and the 9th position should either be Holt or Munoz.
Okay.
What do you think of that lineup? That way possibly you'll have a hitter at the bottom can get on base for Betts and the guys at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, did you have JBJ though in that lineup?
Yeah, I like him because he's great defensively. He saves a lot of games.
But here's the problem, Fred.
I don't know, though, Fred. Does he really save a lot of games anymore? Like, they're hitting. He did last year.
He was great last year.
They needed good defense last year because their offense was putrid. But, like, this year, I don't know that that's – I don't know that that's a metric that is as important this year as it was last season.
And like, the other night against Minnesota, so he saved a run, so they lost 6-2 instead of 7-2.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, like, you know, that's the thing. I think it's sort of a it's like, I don't know. It's like this aberration that people talk about when they talk about a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr. I think people put way too much stock. I mean, listen, he had a bad error the other night too, which cost him a run as well.
Yeah,
and
I understand that, but potentially he can hit a long ball. Maybe batting in the seventh or eighth position will take some of the pressure off.
He's already, when they put him in the lineup, he's already down there, Fred.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom half of that lineup has been a real black hole at times for the Red Sox. Yeah. And I think that's why they're looking for some possible outfield help, because right now you don't want to see Blake Swihart's not a great outfielder. JD Martinez, unbelievable offensive player, but, you know, average to below average outfielder. And then you have to shift everybody else in the outfield. You got to put Benintendi in center. So to me, it's like, what else do you do with him? At some point, you just have to look at him and say, one home run every 65 games is not enough for me to justify your position in the lineup every single day.
Yeah, he's become an automatic out.
I understand
out.
That, but where are we going to get a right-handed outfielder now?
Well,
is there anybody available?
I'm glad that you asked. Thanks for your call. And I actually looked this up because I was curious who they may be able to go after. And Over the Monster, which is a great website if you don't follow them on Twitter or just follow their blog, definitely do so. They gave five options for a possible outfielder. Leonis Martin from the Detroit Tigers, that's a left-handed hitter. Not an exciting option, they say. But he's having a career year. They give a whole bunch of, you know, he's the bad news is for his career, he's worse than Bradley against both lefties and righties. But he's having a career year, and he'd be a short-term rental. He's only team control would only be through this season, and he's only being paid $1.75 million. Cameron Maben, a right-handed hitter from the Marlins, also under control, a little more expensive, $3.2 million. He's having a terrible year. So he probably might be available, they say, for next to nothing, which is good news because they don't have anything to offer. But, you know, maybe he's something. At least you get less power, but more. Maybe he steals some more bases. Maybe he's a little smarter on the base paths. I don't know. Aaron Alther from the Phillies, although I don't know if the Phillies are going to be willing to I don't know what their outfield situation is, if they're willing to part with a young guy who's 27 and only making $561,000. But he has some upside, some power upside. Adam Jones. Okay, this is a little different one, right?
Like, first of all, stop.
He's not coming here.
He's not coming to Boston.
But they have him here. They have him here, possible.
I know. That's just, here's my thing. You got a guy in Pawtucket who's a righty, and he's an outfielder named Rusne Castillo. And I think, ultimately, if you're going to do something internally, that's where
you look
at.
It's going to cost you a lot of money, though.
It's going to cost you a lot of money.
The last person on this list is Domingo Santana. He's a right-handed hitter, outfielder for the Brewers. They've made deals with the Brewers before. His salary, he's under control through 2021. However, that means you're going to have to give up more for him. But his salary is only $572,400, so that's very cost effective. And he doesn't get a ton of playing time because the Brewers have a stacked outfield. Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, those are your everyday guys out there. Santana only plays every once in a while. Sometimes strikes out a little bit too much, but definitely has power and pop.
I look internal, but if they're going to look external, I mean, I don't want to give up much. And here's the thing about it. The Red Sox don't have much to give. I mean, you're talking about a farm system that, since Dave Dombrowski took over, and granted,
yeah, you'd have to be
position,
more, like, especially for Santana,
yeah,
you'd have to give up more because he's under control through 2021, and he could probably be an everyday outfielder for you. He's just not getting the opportunity because there's players better than him in Milwaukee.
Well, and Dave Dombrowski, since the Red Sox, you know, he took over, their farm system went from fifth in Baseball America down to 24th now. So you don't have those. And Jay Groom just had Tommy John surgery. Tanner Houck is in single A. So you don't have a
Michael
lot of
Chavis,
these
Chavis, PEDs.
I know. So there's that. I mean, and, you know, you just
Sam Travis hasn't really rounded into what you want him to round into.
Rusne Castillo this year, he's leading the teams in an average. He's 307, 33 RBIs, 29 runs scored. There's a guy I'd like. And you know what? He wasn't all that bad over three seasons. But you got to remember, people will look. It's like you never get the second chance to make a first impression. Like Robert Williams, people are like, oh, man, he overslept. Well, that's what he did. You know, it's like, forget about it. But like, you're going to eventually have to call this kid up and see what he can do. But remember, Jackie Bradley Jr. does have an option left. And that's the thing I cannot reiterate enough. You can send him the Pawtucket.
That's the thing. I wonder if maybe he just got his head back in the game.
I think it's mental. I think it's just mental, man.
He's need a little break.
Yeah. He's got it. Yeah. And now, especially in a town like this, this isn't Kansas City, okay? Where if you get in a slump, you're not going to have, you know, talk right. Here, you have a slump, and especially all season long, you're going to hear about it wherever you go. The fans are going to let you know.
I also come back. At what point, though, can the Red Sox sort of cut bait? Because, again, I like this. It's not personal. Aaron, if you're listening, that's Jackie's wife. Like, he's awesome. He's a great guy. He's a community guy. He's smart. He's nice. But when you have not hit consistently outside of, like, 2 or 3 months of your entire major league career, at some point the Red Sox need to look and say, or at the very least, if you can, and maybe that's why they have to go out of the system to get someone. Even if they got someone that's not as good of an outfielder, like a late inning defensive replacement.
Well, here's the thing,
if you need a late inning defensive replacement, you might be in a situation where you're not hitting enough, and maybe you know who can hit. I don't know.
With JBJ, he makes $6.1 million a year, and that to me is just like, I mean, he is legally stealing a check right now from the Red Sox. I mean, I think Jack Clark, you know, was someone back in the day who actually, you know, earned his check more than Jackie Bradley Jr. And it's become, now he's become a punchline, and now there's no designated fielder. This is designated as DH, but there's no DF.
Right.
So you can't just throw him out there and have someone hit for him. If you did that, okay, fine. Put him in center. Let him do his Spider-Man but he's killing this team. He's killing them. And I had this conversation with Rob Bradford. He's like, oh, well, well, eventually it starts to catch up. And like, well, how much is he killing them? They got 51 wins. But you can't not acknowledge the 900-pound pink elephant in the room, which is his 181 average. Trenny, he's batting 114. Over that road trip in June. What's he batting? 131.
I mean, standby.
Yeah,
standby.
Like in June. It's that bad. I mean,
his last 30 games, which obviously isn't all of June. I have his 2016 stats pulled up right now, but the last 30 games, he's batting 202, with an OBP of 303 and a slugging percentage of 351. With 2 home runs and 8 RBI in the last 30 games.
Yeah, it's still not
28 good. Strikeouts. In the last 30 games, 28 strikeouts. Strikeouts, by the way, are a big problem across the board in Major League Baseball. Bob Nightingale, longtime columnist for USA Today, who loves the game as much as anybody else that I know that has covered it for a long time, wrote a scathing column about the problems that Major League Baseball has. How do they fix them? I'd love to know your suggestions. 617-779-7937. We'll talk about that when we come back on the other side of this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.